Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Much like Ben Standing, Scotty's Vodka is Maryland-made, amazingly smooth, and loved throughout the DMV. Joining us now, what do you know, is Ben Standing.
Ben Standing.
What's up, Benny? How you doing, bud?
I appreciate being compared in that way. That's a high honor. Thank you.
Well, I consider it accurate. Do you consider it accurate?
Yeah, I'm down with that.
I like to hear it.
I got no qualms. Yeah.
What are you up to, man? I know we were all supposed to be at rookie mini camp today. With the weather, it got moved to tomorrow. What have you done this week to pass the time?
Yeah, good question. Some catching up on some shows. The new John Hamm show on Apple, where he's like stealing stuff from his neighbors. I like that one. That's been pretty good. Have thought about the roster. Do they still need to make any additions? Does the fact that is there an edge rusher move on the horizon we just don't see, similar to like maybe not as big as the Laremy Tunsil deal, but we didn't see that one necessarily coming either. Are there other changes to be had? Do I need to do laundry more often? These are the things that I've been kind of focused on over the last few days since it's been pretty quiet.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need to,
fair enough.
Everybody needs to do laundry more. Yes.
All right. Let's obviously tomorrow I'll see you in Ashburn. We'll be there for Commander's rookie mini camp.
What time is that?
Is it 1:15 to 2:15, Ben? Right? They didn't change the time, just a day.
I think that's right, yes.
If you want to come, DQ is supposed to talk beforehand, so I want to get there by like 12:45. Sometimes DQ shows up early, and you got to be ready when he's ready. But who are you most excited to see tomorrow?
Oh, good question. Obviously Josh Connerly would be fun, but without pads, it's going to be not much to see with him. Depending on what kind of passing is out there, you have the matchup potentially of, say, Amos, the second round corner, and Jalen Lane, the fourth round receiver. Both of those guys address areas of need, and I don't know how often they'll be matched up. And even if it only means so much. That's it's always fun to see the receivers go against the corners, because even if it's a one on one battle, you get to see a little bit there that's reflective of what we see possibly on Sunday. So I think those two guys, and just to see if Lane's speed, if he could really recognize it in person. Again, I understand the format is not designed to be really football, give us a real sense of football on Sundays. But, I think from an athletic perspective, those two guys. Also, I would say Kane Medrano because he was the fastest linebacker at the combine. The defense needs more speed also. And, you know, to see that just sort of naturally unfold in a practice, I think would be something I'd be interested to see as well.
I agree. And yet, despite all the guys you've named, I'm personally most excited to see Jalen Lane. I want to see if the speed matches the quickness. You know what I mean? Like, guys can be fast, guys can be quick. They're not always both of those. I kind of think it does.
Based off of his little shuttle time, he can do it.
That's why I want to see it in person. But that said, I think the biggest story tomorrow might be Gabe Taylor. Curious where you land on that and kind of what, if any, expectations you have.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, you know, we all get the connection with his older brother, and needless to say, Sean Taylor is, you know, forever going to be, you know, a figure here, you know, of mythical proportions, and that his brother is here, is going to be a great reminder, probably the wrong thing, but a good connection for a lot of people. And look, you know, Gabe Taylor he played extensively in college at Rice, had some good years with interceptions and made some plays, not the biggest of safeties out there. So, you know, he's there as a rookie camp invite. We'll see if it goes beyond that. You know, Stephen Davis's son was out there a couple years ago in the same way and, it didn't lead to anything. So I don't know if that means he's going to be there for training camp, but obviously it's a great story. He's going to get a lot of attention from those of us out there. And, anytime Sean Taylor can get discussed in a way that's not about some flawed, jersey display, it's a good thing.
Installation.
And with Croc Merritt, what do you think the chances are for him? Merritt, the running back.
Seventh round.
I mean, look, I thought the offense needed speed no matter where it came from, and obviously Lane is the obvious thing, but the backfield situation in general needed more juice, more big playability. I thought that, look, Brian Robinson can run between the tackles, and Austin Eckler was pretty effective for most of the year in between the concussions, but his effectiveness often was felt like out of the play design from Cliff Kingsbury more than just, you know, sometimes you just got to say, here's the ball, go make a play. And I don't know that the seventh round pick is going to be that guy, but his profile at least suggest that maybe, and look, if he hadn't sat out last year because of eligibility issues, he possibly goes significantly higher in the draft. So I don't want to go overboard.
He got hosed by the NCAA. Let's call that accurately.
I still don't understand. Like, this isn't 1955. We have footage of games. Like, stats are available. Like, I don't know. I don't understand how you couldn't figure this out.
Somebody probably has video of it on their phone. You know what I mean? Like, what are we talking about?
Right, exactly. So whatever happened there, maybe it's possible they got a guy who would have gone higher in the draft, and therefore that he does turn out to be a bigger deal. You know, where does he fit in the backfield? You know, they brought back the three guys from last year. Will they keep four running backs? Perhaps. If not, what is that? Does that mean, what does that mean for the other three? We'll see. But yeah, look, again, the running game is not a huge factor in a rookie practice, or even sometimes not even in training camp. But, another guy, just to see athletically, what does he show out there, the quickness, the speed. I think all that's important.
What is it that you look for in these camps? Like you said, looking for Conley, but they have on no pads. But what is it that you look for?
Yeah, I mean, I think mostly it's engagement, or do they seem to be, are they paying attention when the coaches are speaking? Or are they, do they seem to be when something is being said, are they taking advantage of that? Are they following through? But also I would say, look, I get that the interviews with us don't necessarily mean anything, but I remember, just to use one example, like when the first time meeting Josh Dotson and thinking, oh no, this guy, I don't think he loves this. It was a very odd personality situation. And, that was obviously a bit of an extreme, but it is some of that, like, how excited is the guy? How much do they look like they're ready to go and they don't have a deer in the headlights look? I think that stuff does matter, because what they show to us at times can be reflective of the player. I remember even like last year with like Jahan Dotson, I remember thinking early on, like, boy, he seems a little bit off here. He seems like he's overthinking things. Then sure enough, obviously they decided, hey, he wasn't for us. So, I think that stuff does matter to an extent. But it's the little stuff. It's not the you know, how does a guy look running a certain play with that, with no pads, no tackles, playing against a bunch of guys who, you know, are not even going to be at training camp, let alone on the roster. So I think those little things that, you know, matter to me in this circumstance.
Talking with our friend Ben Standing here, covers the Commanders for The Athletic. You can give him a follow at Ben Standing or check out his podcast. Tell everybody what the podcast is so I don't say the wrong name.
Last Man Standing. You can find it wherever you get your Beltway football podcast.
I knew
podcast.
The old one, so I got to get the new one in my head.
You don't know how many times I've had to stop and redo the intro to my podcast because I've said the wrong name. It happens.
That's funny.
That's real bad, Ben.
I have one kind of nerdy thing. I'm really excited to watch Trey Amos, and I specifically, like with corners, we're going to get to watch him drop back, flip his hips, run. And I want to see that fluidity because I'm a mark for good corners. And two, I think that is something that actually translates to Sundays with corners is how they can turn and run and kind of keep their vision
in and out of breaks.
Yeah. So I that's one specific football thing I want to see. And two, it's funny, you mentioned four running backs, and I don't necessarily see that happening, but whatever. That's a conversation for August 20th. I do think there's a path here, though, for something really interesting. If you think about the roles Olamide Zaccheaus played, he was an important receiver for this offense. But over time, he proved they couldn't trust him on punts. So then they had to reactivate Crowder. I think if we're going to talk actual 53 roster crunch, I think in their perfect world, Jalen Lane is both of those things, and what costs them two roster spots is now one. I don't know where that roster spot ends up going, but I do think if Lane is who they think he is, they've created another spot for themselves.
Yeah, no, I think that's a pretty good point. You know, I kind of been wondering if Luke McCaffrey, because I think he was pretty effective in the kick return game late in the year. He's obviously going to make the team, but you're right. If Lane for this year, we're going to label Lane a receiver, but realistically, he's probably should be listed as the returner / receiver as opposed to the other way around, because I would think that's the way, if all goes well, he has the bigger impact. So you're right. I mean, if you know, look, he had a good career in that regard at Virginia Tech, so shouldn't be any surprises. But if they have any questions about that ability, hey, look, Jameson Crowder is still sitting out there. You know, it could lead to them saying we needed a little more help, perhaps a little more. You know, they had like, you know, 20 guys, it felt like at times last year, in the mix with the return game before they settled on a couple guys you mentioned. So we'll see. You know, I'm not going to assume anything, but yes, in the perfect world, Lane, like you said, takes over the punt return. It contributes at least on the kick returns. And yeah, then you don't have to have that extra guy. I mean, obviously Crowder was also helpful, cost, you know, as a receiver at times, but yes, you know, perfect world, they probably would have had just one of those guys and not had to use both.
It's cool to have more than one guy that could do it, though. You know, you don't want to get to a point and have a coach say, oh, we don't have anybody that could do it. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's why it was like funny, because Crowder, you know, when he'd been here the first time, like he was having drops and fumbles and was like, I don't know. But then when they brought him back, you're like, okay. But he was obviously much, much more effective.
He learned, yeah.
This time. Yeah, I mean, yes. Yeah, obviously, you know, but, you know, Mikey Sanders still, I thought, was a guy that, because he was a guy who was a receiver, you know, at points of his college career, that, like, get him the ball. He seemed to be pretty electric. Maybe that was a way to get him the ball more. So he's another guy that's like a bonus. That's not like a full-time gig. But, there's going to be some other guys in the roster who could probably help if need to.
Benny. Obviously, it wasn't Commander specific, but the Cowboys made a big trade earlier this week. Talking with our friend Ben Standing here on the Rude Guest Hotline. What do you make of Pickens to Dallas?
Yeah, it seems like a perfect move for Dallas. High upside, high variance. Look, George Pickens is an incredibly talented receiver, but, you know, I remember that draft that he came out. I was talking to Greg Cosell with NFL Films on my podcast, and he said that Pickens, he thought, just based on tape, was the best receiver in the draft class, but obviously he slipped to the second round because there were some, whatever it is, personality questions, or, you know, does he play hard all, you know, when he's not getting the ball, things like that. A lot of that played out with the Steelers, but Dallas had almost nobody opposite CeeDee Lamb last year. Now you have a guy who is a, you know, big time playmaker, and that could be a pretty dynamic combination. Again, it also could be a combustible one. If Pickens, who's going to be going into a contract year, if he doesn't get an extension, isn't getting the ball as often as he would like to, you know, to boost his number. So it's going to be a real fascinating watch. But, you know, at a minimum, Dallas has two game breakers on the outside, and I think it's another reason why the Trey Amos pick was so clutch, because I mean, they didn't know that that was necessarily happening. But in a division where you already have A.J. Brown, Malik Nabers, C.D. Lamb, you had to have more than they did a year ago, and now even more so because Pickens is that good of a talent.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
It's going to be interesting. I think they're going to have to pay him. I know they can all say, oh, yeah, we're not paying him, but I think they will.
It will be talked about real soon.
I want to pivot a bit here and ask you something. People may not know this about Ben, but he watches every Wizards game and loves the Wizards and cares more than most. Monday is a huge day for the Wiz. The NBA draft lottery, Monday night. When was the last time you felt like this going into a draft lottery? And to me, this is like the young people like to say the final boss. Like the Commanders have turned everything around. There's bright spots with the Nationals. The Caps are damn good still. Like if the Wiz can land the number one overall pick, is the true final act of Washington sports turning the ship around. How you feeling for the Cooper Flagg lottery?
You know, in general, I'm a process guy more than a results guy. Process meaning, and this is why I've enjoyed watching what the Commanders have done. Understand what it takes to build a roster, to build a culture, to do all the right things you can on the game day. The bounce of the ball, the opponent, you can't control everything. But if you put yourself in the right position, then success will ultimately, I think, find you. In this case, it took forever for the Wizards to accept the fact that like being the eighth seed or making the play-in game was nothing. It wasn't going to lead anywhere. So they finally went with the tanking. Very appropriate. I think that Michael Winger and group have done a very good job with what they've done in terms of, you know, maneuvering with the salary cap, taking on other teams' bad assets to get picks, which is including this year, they're going to get the 18th pick from Memphis to take on that Marcus Smart contract. And, you know, it looks like they've done a reasonable job so far, maybe even more than that, with the players they drafted. But now, the thing is, though, you have to ultimately get lottery lucky. If they get the first pick and get Cooper Flagg, I'm not saying he's the next great thing, but clearly a great competitor, can shoot, knows how to play. Everything about the kid screams you want him on your team if you're really serious about winning. But there's a world where they get the fifth or sixth pick and all of a sudden all this effort to bottom out to maximize your odds doesn't pan out. And like this is the game that the NBA has played. You have to hope that you get lucky with the lottery, but I do like that their process has been sound. So hopefully for them it pays off, and hopefully for Wizards fans it pays off, because it's no fun to watch all these losses one after another. And they'll probably still have a losing record and then some next year, even if they get flagged. But yeah, this would be a huge, huge deal, not just for the on the court, but the mentality locally that the Wizards would actually be relevant again because of having that guy.
Everyone says flag, but the question would be, if you don't get the first pick, who you go after?
Yeah, I know like Dylan Harper, the point guard from Rutgers, is the seems like the clear-cut number two. I know my colleagues, David Aldridge and Josh Robbins, wrote today about different scenarios. Should the Wizards get pick 1, 2, 3, 4, et cetera? What could play out? My only question with Harper, as well as the other, Ace Bailey, who's the other kid from Rutgers, who's maybe is going to be the third pick, is that you had two guys who may be the second and third pick, and that team didn't make the tournament. That scares me a little bit, because I remember everybody said Markelle Fultz was the guy, and his last year with Washington, they won 10 games. Same thing with Ben Simmons. Like LSU, he's, you know, the number one pick, and LSU didn't make the tournament, I don't think. So that, to me, is the only part that I'm a little sketched out on. Admittedly, I didn't watch much Rutgers basketball or college basketball, so I don't have a real opinion, but that's just from the outside. my question. But Dylan Harper would seem to be the guy if they say pick second. You know, tall point guard, son of former NBA player Ron Harper, who was a hell of a player in his own right. You know, I think he would be the next guy, and all that's fine. I'm not worried about position at this point with the Wizards. They need talent. Either one of those guys would be fine. Get beyond that, and it starts to become a bit more interesting, or interesting, but the wrong kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. You got any schedule picks? You got any theories?
No, I mean, you know, I'm going to listen to the Kevin Sheehan fake mock schedule, because that's obviously where all the insight is. I don't know. I mean, is it possible they open week one at Philly? Because obviously the Super Bowl champ gets the home game to open the season. And normally I wouldn't think that's a division game necessarily, but clearly the league is going to want to promote Jaden Daniels, right? So I think that to me would make a lot of sense. And, you know, it feels like this is the year they're finally getting international game. I've been personally hoping more Spain than Brazil. So I think that would be pretty fun if that's the way that it unfolds. And I know there's been some Twitter rumors, or, you know, we'll see. But yeah, no, I think that would be a lot of fun. Clearly they're going to get a ton of national games. What the order is, you know, we'll find out, but that is the ultimate prediction, right? Whatever the maximum national games is, they're going to get, because Jaden Daniels is that interesting, and this team is that much, is become a league-wide darling, which is bizarre, as we all know, but that's just the reality.
Thank you for the time, Benny. I'll see you tomorrow, I guess.
Awesome, guys. Thanks. See ya.
All right, man.
That's Ben Standing. Give him a follow at Ben Standing. Check out his podcast, Last Man Standing.
Yeah.
Wherever you get your podcasts. There you go. Nobody go anywhere. We still have bets to make, and I won last night, and no one's congratulated me.